Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's going on, Mark Owens? Thanks for checking out. That made it sound like I was saying hey to myself. Hey, what's going on? It's Mark Owens. And thank you for checking out the 10-Minute Tailgate Tour. Get it together, son. Give me a follow on Twitter at Marco6262, M-A-R-K-O-6262. Also at CFB929, at CFB929, where it is nothing but college football. And put another poll up this morning before recording this episode. So I do appreciate the follows there. I'm always using you guys as feedback and research for the show, and I'll get to that poll in just a couple of minutes, but at CFB929. Some fun stories today and a very interesting look at the combine, but as we get ready for the spring game, Georgia, April the 21st, 4 o'clock, getting ready, excited. For this year, 2018 spring games, we're going to see 5 new coaches in the SEC. Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, Dan Mullen at Florida, Chad Morris at Arkansas, Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee, and Joe Moorhead in Mississippi State. Not to mention Butch Jones now at Alabama. So here's the rundown for some of the games in the SEC East. South Carolina, they got the early one. Saturday, March the 31st, a noon kickoff. You'll see that on the SEC Network. Auburn, April the 7th. Okay, they're in the West, but they're a rival. April the 7th, 4 p.m. on the SEC Network. Florida, April 14th, 3 p.m. on the SEC Network. Tennessee, April the 21st, noon on SEC Network. Alabama, yeah, I know in the West, but they're a rival. April 21st, 2 p.m. on ESPN and damn good dogs. April the 21st, 4 p.m. on ESPN. Aha! I noticed you give Bama and Georgia the ESPN slot. I think we're doing a show up there. I don't know anymore. You know what? If you turn on your radio Saturday morning, April 21st, and you hear us from Athens, that means we're doing a show. That's probably when I'll find out, too. I'll probably go up there for a little bit just to check out the scene and see what the crowd is like. Of course, we've talked about it. Kirby's calling the dogs again, asking for another huge crowd. I don't think it's going to be another 93,000 that we got the first year he was here, but I do think it's going to be a very healthy crowd. I do think it's going to be a very big crowd, but I don't think it's going to be. I mean, there were people sitting in the aisles. I talked to people after that huge 93K day. They got halfway up 316 and heard reports of people saying you can't even get in the stadium, and they turned around and went home. That's a good sign. So I don't think it's going to be that big, but I think it's going to be a good showing on April 21st up at Sanford Stadium. Let's turn our attention to baseball for a second. Baseball clubs are desperate to get the early attention of the fans and entice them to come out to the ballpark. The Arizona Diamondbacks are the first to roll out 4 new feature food items available for the 2018 season at Chase Field. All right, tell me what you think about these. The Asada Dog, an 18-inch hot dog covered in fries, queso blanco, carne asada, pico de gallo, and guacamole. Ain't gonna lie, it sounds pretty good. Big old hot dog covered in fries, cheese, carne asada, pico de gallo, and guacamole. Yeah, I like that. Steak and ale tots, tater tots topped with cheese, and includes a Philadelphia ribeye, mushrooms, and chive sour cream. Wow, it's like a sliced ribeye. It's like steakums and mushrooms on top of tater tots. It's like a redneck gourmet. Fried chicken, bah mi. A hoagie roll with crispy chicken filet, pickled dachshund and carrots, plus cucumber and garlic cilantro aioli. Okay, look, Diamondbacks, you're at a baseball game, okay? You don't have to be that fancy. I get it. You want to offer something to everybody, but remember, hot dog, peanuts, hamburgers. And you know that thing, fried chicken banh mi. Again, I don't even know what the hell that is, but I'm sure it costs $28. A curd and Q burger, the final one on the list. White cheddar cheese curds that are fried and sit atop of a chuck patty with coleslaw and barbecue pulled pork. Again, sounds great. How can I get mad at the Diamondbacks for trying to get creative with our food? We had, what was it, Pizzazilla? Damn it, what did we call it the last year at Turner Field? The Burgerizza. A 20-ounce beef patty topped with 5 slices of cheddar cheese and bacon and served between 2 8-inch freschetta pepperoni pizzas. The Burgerizza, that's what it was. I remember one night, and let me go down a rabbit hole here for a second. It was a random, like, Tuesday or Wednesday night. A couple of frat boys were at the game. One of the guys was hammered. I mean, barely walking drunk. But he sat at this picnic table and tried to finish that damn thing by himself. I was impressed, and I felt sorry for the kid all at the same time. And I saw one of his buddies at a game later on this season. I said, well, how'd your boy do who tried to eat the burgerita? He said, oh, he puked the whole way home. That's why you should. A 20-ounce beef patty topped with 5 slices of cheddar cheese, bacon, and served between 2 8-inch pepperoni pizzas. I tried it before. If you never tried it, Ted, it was all right. Once it got cold, it was disgusting. Anyway, all right, enough baseball talk. I did want to bring this up real quick before we get to the combine conversation. You know, we make fun of millennials a lot here on the 10-Minute Tailgate Tour because, well, they deserve it. A new story from the website MarketWatch has information about millennials being scammed more online than senior citizens. Now, among consumers ages 20 to 29, 40% of those who made fraud complaints to the FTC lost money compared to just 18% who are ages 70 and older. Now, part of the problem with people getting scammed is the so-called optimism bias. Now, young people assume that others are at a higher risk of fraud, so they take more risks online. Oh, that's the, oh, well, you know what? Grandma is dumber than I am. Grandma doesn't know how to use the computer, so I'm okay to click on this link I saw on Reddit. Other research has shown that young people are more inclined to share personal information, such as their email address or mother's maiden name, than older generations. Now, altogether, consumers lost $905 million to fraud last year. The biggest fraud comes from travel and vacation scams. Those are the most costly, followed by mortgage foreclosure relief fraud and business and job opportunity scams. Knock on wood, I've never been scammed online. I'm also very careful. My wife buys stuff on her cell phone. Like, she'll be on Etsy or Amazon or whatever. She buys stuff all the time from her cell phone. This is the old senior citizen in me coming out. I don't want to buy anything on my cell phone. If I'm going to purchase online, I'll go to my computer, and I'll even go to the incognito, thinking that's another layer of protection, to go buy something off Amazon. I know, right? I'm the oldest 40-year-old you're ever going to meet. Oh, I'll be 40 in June. I'm the oldest 39-year-old you're ever going to meet. All right, let's get to it. This is a very interesting read I found from Gridiron Now. And this is where the poll came in that I was talking about, that you can follow me on at CFB929. Always putting polls up there asking your guys' thoughts and opinions, and I like to give you guys credit when we can. The Combine has wrapped up. The Combine is over, as they call it, the Underwear Olympics. And how much of it did you watch? Are you someone, you know, if you're listening to this, you're a football fan. You're a college football fan. You're a sports fan. And when it comes to the Combine, we don't have the NFL right now. We're getting ready for spring game. It's kind of that dead zone if you're a football fan. Do you get invested in the Combine? Do you appreciate it? Do you love it? Do you yearn for it? You can't wait till it gets here. So I asked the question, how much of the Combine did you watch? Your options were a lot, and I enjoy it. I put enough to see my guys. I only watch the highlights. Or none, because I'm not interested. And the final results came in, and this was a quick flash poll, so not a huge number of votes, but 44% of you that voted said, I only watch the highlights. 27% said, none, I'm not interested. 22% said, enough to see my guys. And then 7% said, I watch a lot of it, and I enjoy it. I think I'm with most of you where I'll glance up at it, and I'm sure what I need to know about my Georgia boys, I'll see online. I'll see it, you know, other websites and the local paper will cover what they've done. So to me, the Combine is just a good big moneymaker for the NFL Network in kind of a dead period. So this story comes from Gridiron Now. They detailed exactly what happens inside the Combine from the eyes of TJ Moe. He's a former wide receiver who played at Mizzou and then spent 2 years in the NFL. And it's a pretty good read. You can go find it at Gridiron Now. But here are the kind of the highlights from the article. He says, you only get to see about 25% of what occurs on TV. There are about 330 guys who are invited to the Combine. They all arrive in waves. He said, it's incredibly organized. The NFL schedules the players' flights, and the scouts tell you where to go and what to do. Now, when you get to the hotel, you meet your roommate, you fill out the paperwork, you get your room key, drop off your stuff, then you immediately go back downstairs, get on a bus, and go to the hospital. This is what I found pretty interesting. You spend the rest of the first day at the hospital. All the medical exams during that first 2 days of the stay, urine test for both drug testing and kidney function, x-rays, blood test, MRIs, CAT scans, and a full medical history check was included. At the end of day one, you're taken back to the hotel for dinner, only about 15 minutes, then you go to another orientation. From there, the players are ushered into an interview room where each team gets 15 minutes with up to 60 players that include the GM, coach, and sometimes the team's owner. That's a nightly thing. Every night we talk to different teams. That was just day one, mind you. Day two starts with an early morning drug test, breakfast, and more meetings with doctors from each team, which is a day-long process. You wrap day two with more media interviews, dinner, and then bed. And now let's move on to day three. They haven't even done the first bench press. Day three includes the Wunderlich test, which you've heard a lot about. That was 50 questions. You have 12 minutes to complete it. He said it was easier than he thought it would be. You had another computer exam, and then your first workout is the bench press. Your first opportunity to show your strength in front of the coaches. He says one of the big tests is being able to adapt to the workouts in an uncomfortable environment, which is what the combine is. Well, basically, you get comfortable in the weight room at your school or in the gym in your school, where now you're having to work out on a different bench, on a stage, with everybody staring at you. And he said it's incredibly cold at the combine as well. Day four is finally what you see on TV. TJ Moe says, the hardest part was the wait time between the drills. You get warmed up, you do a vertical jump, then wait another hour to do something else. He also mentioned the best part of the combine was meeting new people. He said the loads of free stuff you get from Under Armour, Nike, and Adidas. He finishes it up by saying, I went home with four bags of every type of gear you can think of. That's all from the eyes of TJ Moe, played at Mizzou a couple of years in the NFL. Very interesting look. See, that's what I find interesting about the combine. Because when I think combine, I just think about the guys running the 40. I think about the vertical jump. I don't think about the 2 days of drug testing. I don't think about the media interviews. You can go read the whole thing at gridironnow.com. All right. Oh, one more for you real quick, because I think I teased it last week, never got to it. So let's wrap up on a sinful story. Wallet Hub ranked the most sinful cities in America. And to the shock of nobody, the biggest sin-filled city, Las Vegas. Followed by St. Louis, North Las Vegas, Detroit, and Charleston, West Virginia. Sinful. Atlanta was number 9, Augusta 81, Columbus, Georgia at number 120. So there you go. Sinful cities. Give me a follow on Twitter at Marco6262, also at CFB929. Really do appreciate you checking out this week's 10-Minute Tailgate Tour. Hope you have a great week. We will talk to you in about a week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.